IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints. You are listening to I'm Atta, the host of this program. At the very beginning of this program, we would like to express our condolences on the arrival of the month of Muharram, the 10th day of which is the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his faithful companions. Please accept our condolences on behalf of me, Mr. Mahmoud, the producer of the program Viewpoints, and all the staff of Call of Islam Radio. With me in the studio are two guest speakers for today's discussion, Sheikh Muhammad Khani and Sayyid Mohsen Naghwi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
We're welcome to the show, and Sheikh Muhammad Khani, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. It's an honor to be here.
Alhamdulillah. So in this new series of the program, Viewpoints in the Month of Muharram, most of the topics are dedicated to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the rituals related to the mourning processions and ceremonies done for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But for today's discussion, we want to get to one of the most outstanding goals, which was set by the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We know that in his last will and statements, said to Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam set the goals of his qiyam, his movement uprising. One important phrase of which is Amr bil Maruf wa Nahy an al-Munkar. So for today's discussion, we want to talk a little bit about this topic. But Sayyid, the fruits of Amr bin Maruf and Nahy an al-Munkar has to be seen. If we date back to the time of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, it gets to the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, the assassination of he himself, his family members, his close companions. So now we see what would be the result, because the corruption did not stop. And after that, it is continued. It had a very big, big lesson for the history, okay? But I do want to say it did not have effects on that time.
How can you say it did not have effect? We have so many qiyam, okay. Like, you know, the Mukhtar, Zayd bin Ali,
okay.
There was Hussein Fakh, there were like, you know, Tawwabin.
Again, they've never been killed.
You know, I know. But obviously, all of them, because a person is sitting at the place where he's ruling a country,
okay.
A place, obviously, mm-hmm. If you want to throw him away like his crown,
yes.
it's a hard, yes, job to do.
Okay.
So there were many things, especially, you know, the people of Medina. They were not thinking of Yazid as a bad person. Mm-hmm. They had a delegation which went to meet Yazid, and when they came back, they reported like how he is,
yes,
and why Imam Hussein got martyred.
Yes.
So all those things happen in the history. We can see that the people, they never liked Yazid, mm-hmm, after that. Even at the time when Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously his head was in front of
yes,
you know, Yazid and the whole caravan, like the Sadat, they were at the, you know, the palace of, in the presence of Yazid,
yeah.
Even at that time, there was a kind of, we can say, resistance,
mm-hmm,
amongst the people, ambassadors who were present there. And that made Yazid to release them in 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why Yazid released Ahlul Bayt after they were made captive,
okay,
after 3 days, in 3 days,
yes,
it was because he saw the resistance within his,
okay,
we can say, government. And this rooted that the Banu Umayyah became weaker and weaker,
mm-hmm,
day by day. So we cannot say like there wasn't any, you know, results. But yes, because
the media, there was, today.
Okay.
There was for sure fruits and results, yes, of the action. But I do want to say Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam paid the price with his own blood, okay?
Yes. So until Qiyamah, until, uh-huh, Day of Judgment,
yes,
he had made a criteria for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now
this
today, when we talk about the evil, we say it's Yazidiyat.
Okay.
When we talk about the truth, we say it's Husayniyat. And you know, this slogan has made Imam Khomeini to bring a revolution in the Islamic, mm-hmm, Republic of Iran.
Okay.
He said, whatever we have, it's because of Imam Hussein, it's because of Karbala. There were many other things that happened in the history on the name of Imam Hussein. So Imam Hussein has made a criteria that if you want to see what is right and what is wrong, look at the characteristics of the Husayniyat and the Yazidiyat.
Okay.
So there was a criteria which was set, mm-hmm, by Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
That's right.
And we can see the results till now. And I can assure you that in the Islam, we have only two groups.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, you know, the groups like named Hanafi or Hanbali or Shi'i or Shafi'i or all those, you know, different schools that we have. No.
What do you mean?
In reality, we have only two schools.
Okay.
Either they are Husayni or Yazidi.
Mm-hmm.
We have Hanafi loving Imam Hussein, hating Yazid.
Okay.
We have Hanbali loving Imam Hussein, hating. On the other hand, we have Wahhabis who love Yazid and hate Imam Hussein. So we have only two groups. In Islam, practically, when you go and when you enter into the scholars, mm-hmm. you see, you ask them, do you love Imam Hussein or Yazid? So we can make difference. You know, this the, Imam Hussein basically made, he united the nation of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the way Prophet said, Husaynu minni wa ana min al-Husayn. The practical aspect of this is that Imam Hussein has made all the school of thoughts together, like get together and sit together on the platform of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. In the days of Muharram, obviously Muharram is now, in Pakistan we can see like how Ahl Sunnah, they have, you know, the majalis of Imam Hussein.
That's right. Okay.
They cry on Imam Hussein.
That's right.
So
this is what we
can take out of, you know, the sacrifice which was made by Imam Hussein.
And Sheikh, do you believe that the criterion for discerning good and evil is changed nowadays in the modern world, in the 21st century? No, it's the same.
So the criteria, we have it in the Islamic text about the criteria as well. What kind of criteria it there are four main criteria they talk about. The first one is that you should have knowledge about the action itself.
Okay.
In other words, that you should be knowledgeable about the sin that the person is committing. So if you're in doubt, let's say there's a person, he's listening to some sort of a nasheed, and you think it's music, you're in doubt whether that music is a type of haram music or not. Of course, you should be aware that here it's not obligatory for you. Not to say that it's, sometimes it can even be damaging if you try to enjoy the good or forbid the evil for that person, because maybe it could show he can show a reaction to it, a negative reaction, or he considered you to be some sort of a haram police that are trying to control his life or every aspect of his life, especially if he thinks that, no, I'm a God-fearing person, I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to, I'm taking care of my responsibilities towards my creator. So that's the first thing. That's knowledge. So that's the first criteria. The second criteria, which the scholars they mention, is that ihtimal ta'thir, as they say. So you should give it some sort of a possibility, or you should ascribe it some sort of a possibility that it would have an effect on that person. If you know for certain that that person is not going to change, he doesn't care, then it's not wajib upon you anymore. It's not obligatory upon you anymore to enjoy the good and forbid the evil in that case. And then there's the third one, the third criteria, which is that adam adharar, as they say, that you shouldn't inflict damage upon him or yourself even.
Yes.
So if the damage of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil is greater than the result of doing so, then of course you should refrain from doing it. Let's say a person, for example, you want to tell him that he shouldn't stand on the corner and sell drugs. And you know he's, for example, he has a weapon on him, he's armed, and he's going to harm you.
Okay.
Like, so him taking your life is worse than him being able to stand there and you can wait, call the law enforcement, the police, and so on and so forth. So it's not wajib upon you in that case either. And then there's the fourth and last one, which is that it needs to be continuous.
Yes.
He needs to be stubborn when it comes to doing evil or quitting what is good for him. So if he regrets himself, of course, you should give him time to do tawbah and repent. And try to encourage him instead of forbidding the evil or enjoining the good in this situation. So there's these four criteria that need to be met. Yeah.
In today's world, when you look at the lifestyle in the Western world, they can see there are kind of specific privacy for the members of the family. Each individual has a privacy. So in order to get into that, intrude into that privacy, is very much difficult. And usually the law protects the privacy of the people. Doesn't it make Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar very much complicated and complex
and
for us?
That goes back to a liberal understanding of the society, of the world, of your life. And we don't see it like that. No, we have a responsibility, not only when it comes to our own conduct and our own behavior, but also the behavior of other people, because we understand from an Islamic perspective. And now today is proven as well. A person can't say, look, I'm taking drugs. It has nothing to do with you. I'm not harming you. You are harming me. Why? Because that would have an impact on your family. Your family, when it becomes dysfunctional, that will have an impact on the society. I'm a part of that society, right? So I care about the perfection of your children. I care about the perfection of whether you are seeking closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Therefore, I care about these things. So yeah, it is related to me as well when you're doing something which harms yourself even.
But you personally cannot go to that person and say, stop doing that, isn't it?
Of course you can.
But no, what would be the
In
result?
A liberal society, you could try to justify it according to their principles with freedom of expression, right?
Okay.
So you can use freedom of expression. I'm not saying that you use freedom of expression, therefore you agree upon their understanding of freedom of expression, because we don't. We don't understand. We don't accept the liberal understanding of freedom of expression. But if we want to use their arguments against themselves, you can say, this is my freedom of expression.
Okay.
I would like to express myself by saying that what you're doing is immorally and it's moral wrong. Okay. And I don't think that you should continue doing that. Okay. Whether the person continues to do that or not,
that's right.
And not in your hands.
Sayyid, what about establishing, an organization or foundation to do Amr bin Maruf and Nahya Munkar and train the people based on the true, authentic Islamic teachings? Do you agree?
Well, where are you talking about, an Islamic state or non-Islamic state?
Both.
That's the first thing. The first thing is, obviously, when you let's divide it. In the Islamic state, it's the duty of the jurist. It's the duty of the wali who is ruling the state.
Okay.
Now, in the Islamic Republic of Iran, obviously, there is a wali faqih and the jurist who is governing the government. It's his duty to perform. And there are many organizations who are doing that. But the most thing is, the most important thing is, in the Islamic State, obviously, the media is in the hands of the government. We can see, like, you know, different places where people go. These are all, obviously, their management is in the hands of
the Masajid al-Husseini.
Yes. So the first thing is to give awareness to the people. You know, Amar bil Maruf and Nahi anil Munkar doesn't mean that if you see someone, you directly go and, you know, directly. Sometimes you can indirectly, you know, convey your message.
Yes.
The way today media, the films, I don't know, cartoons, how they are propagating, how they are unintentionally, you know, you get involved into that thing. For example, if there is a scene, there's a picture behind the scene.
Yes.
So that is the main aim, so that this person can see that and it has effect on him. So unintentionally, you can take them, or indirectly, you can obviously convey your message. The main idea in the Islam is that do not force people with the sword, or with anything else.
Okay.
It's rather give awareness. Because the things that you get through awareness, when you're aware of something, and then if you are not performing, that's obviously that has consequences.
Okay.
And Allah will punish people like who does it purposefully, if they perform evil purposefully.
That's right.
But if they do not know, the first thing is we need to give awareness to them. Same is the case in the West.
Yes.
In the West, for the Muslim Ummah, obviously, I generally give this advice that they should be connected with the mosques and Husseiniyah. The point where we see that their kids are deviating, they're becoming atheists, or they're leaving the religious, obviously, rituals
life
that we have,
that's right.
It's the time when they do not take their kids to the Husseiniyah or Masajid regularly. It's the time when the parents themselves are not educated enough. We need to have the education of the deen so that we can perform the, you know, the wajibat, and we can, like, stop ourselves from performing
Through your personal lifestyle and conduct, you can
if
teach
If parents
your kids
are not praying five times, their kids are not going to pray five times. Even if they force them, the parents are the role model for the kids. So the first thing is, obviously, we need to give awareness. There should be an education for the parents itself. They should train themselves. And there can be organizations who can perform. And mainly, obviously, in today's world, we can see, like, this duty is upon the shoulders of the scholars, generally, who come into Muharram. Safar and the month of Ramadan. These are the three main months where we have regular lectures and the people are coming. So with these 3 months only, we cannot perform the things that we cannot achieve the target that has been set by the Quran. Obviously, we need to have a regular counseling there should be a regular
the 12 remembrance. 12 months of the year and the
yes, the duty
basis.
Of the okay. ulama who are at the center, it's mm-hmm. their main duty. They should yes. have more connection. Another issue in the West is that the ulama, they do not have that connectivity or connection with the youth the way they should have.
Mm-hmm.
And the youth are even, you know, they're not getting connected to them. Maybe it's because they migrated from somewhere else mm-hmm. to there. Or maybe, you know, they don't feel easy, or maybe they cannot talk the way the youth are talking.
That's right.
So there are different, you know, okay. We can say like hurdles. But obviously, the first thing is they should be well connected to the families,
mm-hmm.
the families that are coming, that are participating in that mosque or Husseinia. And through the families, through the awareness, they should do it.
That's right.
On the other hand, if there is something which is, you know, really an evil and someone is performing it, apparently, and he does not care about Islam yes. and about anything, obviously, there should be other ways.
But sometimes, Sayyid, it's very much difficult because you have to abide by the rules of that country. So, for example, a Muslim family who is living in the Western world and sending the kids to the public schools, okay, on that time. So how is it possible, I mean, to control?
That's why, you know, in Islam, the education starts from the lap of mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Islam, the Islamic style, the Islamic way of training.
Okay.
You know, in the Tawzi al-Mas'al, if you read that when a girl becomes 9 years old, she becomes baligh.
Okay.
Yeah, a boy at 15, okay. age of 15.
Okay.
Now, it says that this person who's becoming baligh, he has to choose a mujtahid
mm-hmm.
to do taqlid.
Yes.
Can a girl who's 9 years old can choose a mujtahid by doing research and all those? It depends on the trainings that he had before. The way she raised up, it depends on that has she reached to that level
that's right.
where she can choose okay. one of them, where she can do this research or not, and after that she has to do. Why in the family of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam, we can see all these characteristics as their role model, because Janab Zainab Ulia, about her, Imam Zainul Abidin has said that she is a scholar without a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So she was raised up in a way. There are many, many other examples in the house of the ulama or the scholars or jurists where we see that even the kids who are 5 years old,
okay.
6 years old, they are at that level of maturity mentally, where they can perform things, where they know about halal and haram, mm-hmm. they know about the, you know, how to live according to the Islamic teachings and all those.
Okay.
So it depends on our families. That's why I said, like, you know, it starts with the families. The main issue is the education of the families themselves. They're not well educated, and they have to strive for these things, inshallah.
Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, Sayyid. We do not have more time. Anything missed?
No,
nothing. No. Thank you very much, Sheikh Muhammad Khani and Sayyid Mohsen Nahwi, for a presence again in the program Viewpoints, talking about enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahya and Munkar. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Viewpoints. Please accept again our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his faithful companions on this month of Muharram. You can visit our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. Also a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode. God bless you all. في أمان الله يا أبا عبد الله الحسين
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد To Allah, you have shown us so much courage through the pain. You sacrificed your family and were killed thirsty for Hussein.